Accession number 19048, reel 5.
Right, so that's Harry Boardman, reel 5. You've just got back to the UK after being wounded, Harry, and you were talking about your wound to your left knee, weren't you?
Yes. The wound would not heal. It seeped all the time.
Yep.
Very slightly. It was obviously, even to a stupid guy like me, that there was something still in there. And I had numerous experts who looked at it and said there wasn't anything in there, and so on. But all told, I was in hospitals everywhere. Oh, they moved everywhere.
Were these military hospitals or?
Oh no! They were all invariably colleges. Mm. You know, colleges with a single room, you know, like rooms that you could have a bed and a bit of writing desk and whatever, but they'd put two beds in. Mm. And very often they were in various colleges, in various places, and they took the doors off, you know, each one, because you're amazed what you see if you're not careful. In the large wards, I didn't like the large wards. I remember one chap in one bed being way over there, and a Scotch chap being over here, quite a way, you know, doing, arguing about whatever it is. And this Scotch chap had he'd no legs on, his two legs were gone, he'd only stumps and so, but he'd stumps with no leg put on, you know.
Yes.
And this one was on, maybe a Scottish bloody drunks or something like that, you know. Mm. So. And he jumped out of bed, and he jumped across that thing, and he jumped on him in bed. You would not believe it. I watched it, way past this thing, you know.
On his damaged,
on
wounded
his
stumps.
His he just flew along, and to get him off, you know, and so on. It was horrifying that he could do it, but he actually went, and blood was all over the place, you know, but he went on his stumps, you know. Oh, I had this thing, I got so used to it, I almost built one for myself at home.
A cage?
Yes,
to go over your legs.
I liked it, but of course it's impractical in the flat and so on. But I got to the stage where I couldn't sleep without anything being near it. But I'm pure that was psychological rather than actual doings. But I did do what did I do? I got a job then. Oh yes, in a town, where the hell was it? There was a big street. The war had finished and everything like that, and people were being trained to go back to work, you know. And we were near where Leyland Motor Company were.
Liverpool somewhere?
Oh no, it wasn't. No, it was
Leyland.
More towards London.
Oh, Leyland would be Lancashire, would it not?
Really? Well, no. Just saying Leyland, but it could not be Leyland. But we're a big manufacturing of cars and things, and lorries were made, and a lot of people were being trained, you know, being returned from the army at whole, you know, not hospital, and so on. I was supposed to be, you know, okay then. Mm. And I was pay sergeant, doing pay, and I'd never done pay in my life. And I had an officer, a second lieutenant, who was brother to the Duke of Bedford. And he was a frightfully, couldn't care less, but very, very nice chap indeed, you know. But wore his real. He wore a battle dress like the other people did, and he was a pay, he was the pay chap in charge of pay. He wore a battle dress lined with silk, you know, and so. And he always turned the cuff back, you know.
Show the silk.
Which was wrong. He shouldn't have turned his cuff back when he was doing it. And we would pay out in a day over 1,000 people in different parts. We'd even go to the outskirts of London and pay them in various factories where they were learning, you know, a trade or getting back to doing. And I was, oh, what is that bloody town called? It's quite a good town. I rather liked it.
Southern town or a northern town?
I think it's southern, actually. Dear me. Anyway, there's this big King Street that we lived in, and our building had been in a shop, and it was five floors up, you know, different up a rickety staircase and whatever, and everything that went to the roof, and it was a shop front, a huge shop front, and that, and they all had the beds in, the guns and everything like that, and we had a system of a big iron wheel or part from a stockyard or something like that. That it, when you banged on this was the fire alarm. Mm. And we had about 6 or 7 of these places, these houses around the place. Actually, I was the junior sergeant on the thing, and I was pay sergeant. Never done pay in my life. Knew nothing. And I had 3,000 people to pay out in a day. I knew nothing whatsoever about pay. And the lieutenant, Colonel the Honourable, he's 2 hyphenated names, and the Colonel the Honourable Fitz something or other, of connected to the Dukes of Bedford. Mm. And he would be, rolled up sleeves, you know, there's satin sleeves and everything like that. Is the pay all right, Mr. Bourdon? Pay, is it all ready? I said, well, I don't know. I don't know how to do pay. I've never done pay in my life. It's going to pay 3,000 doings, and they've all got things like money got to be paid to the wife and things like this. I don't know. But I instituted a Tuesday night effort when they could come and visit me up all these staircases and have a haggle about pay, whatever I could do about it. Incidentally, they sent me on a course, believe it or not, 2 years later to go on a pay course when I didn't want it, when the war had finished and everything had gone. But anyway, lieutenants, I've seen majors stand stiffly and salute him because he was so colonelish, you know, real colonel.
Yeah.
And that. And we, in my building, a great big narrow building going up, I had a great big iron thing like this, you know, on the staircase, the first staircase. Anybody, and I used to grab it into them, anybody sees a spark or anything doing something like that, straight away, yoing, 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 and then I gave them all this drill that they got to do. First of all, they had to look after the rifle. The rifle had to go outside. Mm. So on, and everything had to be evacuated out through the windows and everything like this. King Street, this is King Street. And incident at the bottom of King Street, I used to have my breakfast with no mess or anything like that. I used to have my breakfast at Joe Lyons every morning, yes. And got very well in with them. And I used to have double the amounts of bacon and egg. I was having bacon and eggs every morning. Oh, it was mouth. And then he got to the stage where he was too lazy to go to the bank at the bottom. Well, not too lazy. He just didn't worry about money or anything like that. And I used to go down to the bottom, go to the bank, and collect the pay for thousands of troops. And I'll tell you honestly, I thought, how can I work out a system to get away with this? You know, this. It was about £10,000 or £15,000
doings,
because they only got small pay then, you know. And I used to think, how I planned and planned how I could escape, you know, and everything like that. Especially when he got to the stage where he sent me down to go and get the money and bring it back to him, you know, and then sort it out. And it used to always be a case of, we were never correct. It was never balanced. It didn't balance at night, but he'd make it up. But also, if it was over, and God knows how it got over, he would share it out. It was dreadful, really. It was awful. Anyway, but the thing is, I drummed it into my people. Don't forget, the minute the clang, 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 don't go running around trying to find what it is. Everything goes out of the window, and don't forget your rifle. Everything, everything like that. So I go to the cinema nearby, big, you know, modern cinema things, and I come out of the cinema about 9:30 at night, and the whole of King Street, what the hell's that town called? The whole of King Street, buses all held up, everything held up. And they're coming out of the windows. The windows are strewn with blankets and buckets and everything. They'd even thrown the brushes out of these bloody buildings. About five buildings that we'd occupied, you know. All the whole King Street was outside and so on. And what had happened was the colonel who was in charge of it, he was a colonel. He was a little short-sighted chap, a little about this size.
About 5 foot.
He couldn't peer. In fact, his head was always under his desk. Mm. You know, his desk a little bit at the front. Mm. And when he used to be talking to people, wherever it was, you didn't see his face. He kept it down, and then every few minutes, you know, it was terrible. And he'd come along. Oh, I'll test out if I'll see Borman's away. Clang, 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 and the whole of the town came to...
Evacuated.
It was in the papers and everything like that, you know, and so on. So much so that the colonel then gave a big do in the local co-op hall for the local, you know, people who were on the councils and who did things and police and all that business. He gave a big do out of the army funds, of course. And so on, and he gave them all a big do to counteract this. But you've never saw anything like it, you know, coming out the cinema and bloody buses, and they'll stop the whole town.
You probably thought, go away for 5 minutes to watch a film and look what happens.
That's right. That's right. But anyway, it didn't so bad, and I managed that. And pay, I don't know how I managed. Really, of course, I was devoted to doing it. I'll do it. It'll kill me, sort of thing. But he, the colonel, he, the lieutenant, you know, everybody used to salute him, even, you know, majors and people used to smartly go to him because he looked absolutely the part.
Yeah.
But I say he was one of the Duke of Bedford's family. We were near Bedford somewhere. It must have been
Luton.
Luton. That was the place. Luton. That's the place, Luton.
Where Vauxhalls make cars.
That's the place. That's where they. That's Luton. That was a big place. King Street, Luton. If you ever hear anybody from Luton, they lived in King Street, ask them if they ever lived in that road.
Well, I think what you've
when
done
there was
now.
A certain thing went on, you know, and the whole thing.
I think I'll have to go down there and look and see this King Street anyway, Harry.
And the thing is, he used to leave his evening tales. He used to go out in tales and everything, you know, and the war done had just finished, but then, you know, the Masons and whatever and all that business from there. And he used to use my room upstairs on the top floor. I had a marvellous big room upstairs, beautiful big room, and lived like a lord, what with knowing the people at the Lion's Corner House and so on, and really, and we had no mess, with no sergeant's mess or sergeant major's mess or anything like that. So we just put in chits and we just got what bottles we wanted and everything like that. But I didn't drink, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
but he was, you know, such a life. And strangely enough, years later, no, about 3 years later, and I told him where I was going to go when I left the army, if I had not left the army, but left the particular thing. When I got really walkable again, I then had to go back to the army thing at Blackburn, you know, the army back to Blackburn. And from there, I was eventually posted to the War Office. The old War Office, you know the old War Office, the old one, immediately opposite where the Horse Guards change.
Yes, I know.
I don't mean the modern one, but the old one, which is an old one. I was immediately posted to the into the intelligence corps. I had no idea what they were talking about. On top of which, I was running a certain thing through to Belgium to somebody in prison in Belgium who had a secret to sell to us through the intelligence. And it was on how to clamber up ice, you know, ice things with putting
ice picks.
You know, ice picks strapped to your thing, and you literally walked in theory. He was in prison and he was working this out and doing this. And I was working, that was only one of them, and I was working a system. I had to get it translated into Belgium, you know, and so on, and then get his done. And literally, we had a room twice the size of this, with little cupboards all the way down, with people all over the world that we were doing intelligence. This is in the old War Office, and so on. And the thing is, naturally, we always thought, oh, it's coronation, not coronation day, it's the Queen opening a parliament, we'll have a wonderful seat, and so on. So it all worked stop. And that, and you looked at your desk out at the side, outside the Horse Guards. But it didn't. Everybody else, the civilians, all sat on the window ledges, and you couldn't tell them to get off because they'd tell you exactly what to do.
Yes.
And I once saw Tony Benn, coming through the Horse Guards, coming along, doing so, come to it, and when he got to the two sentries stopped him. I'm Tony Benn. I don't care if you're King Tut. Back. And he said he had to go to a thing quickly in Parliament to pass the thing. He had to go back and come round and go round the night. They wouldn't let anybody. They were not supposed to.
Absolutely.
Nothing like that.
Absolutely. Just to bring that up to, for the sake of this tape then, Harry, because you'd finished your war in the Reichswald,
yes,
with your injury, which you took you a year to get over, or to, yes, for the thing to heal.
Oh, it took me donkey years.
Yeah, donkey years.
Yes.
But after your active service, so to speak, in France and the Low Countries, but then what happened is you then signed on for a number of years.
Oh yes, I travelled all over the world after that.
Can you tell us just briefly just how many years you spent in the army?
22 years is a normal full period. 22 years and 2 days. 2 days over the 22.
2 days over the 22.
Yes. And I've got the LS&GCM medal in the other room to show you.
Wonderful. I think what we should do, Harry, we should now take a break with this tape, because this finishes a part
that's
of your story,
right,
which is up at the
right,
end of the war.
The
and then we will have to do with you
another
time.
That finished the war bit. Yes. It didn't finish my army bit.
Of course.
My
not.
Army lasted until, you know, Kenya.
That's right. And I think that's what we're going to have to talk to you about at another time. And to put that on tape as well, if you don't mind.
Oh, yes, the Mau Mau. I shall never forget, strange enough, thinking of Mau Mau. Again, you get a lot of strange people. I worked under a colonel with two hyphens for the same name, Colonel Eric Charles Kendall-Sadler. So remember, you know, having to Colonel Mr. Bloody Kendall out of your business with a secretary who was mad on Noel Coward and things like that. Well, I knew Noel Coward very well. And the thing is, in Kenya, this colonel used to have to go every year and a half and have every drop of blood drained from him and completely replaced. So he looked at behind his desk like a ghost, you know, apart from his name, his ghost. Mm. And nobody actually ever saw him. All they heard was just come in, you know, and everything like that. And you sort of crept in, and he's half in the dark and half here. And then he'd talk to you and so on. Oh, it was weird. And I remember me looking out on another side and the great fence, the great wire fence that was round our enclosure. And we used to take all the drafts coming in and then send them all over the world, in actual fact. Well, not all the world, but certainly most of Africa, all the world. So we had thousands of British troops. And most, and often the Skaris, you know, the Skaris,
yes,
and so on. In fact, you usually try to do it Sudanese sergeant major running the rest of the place because the Sudanese could do it. You know. Oh, I'll show you a stick that the Sudanese sergeant major had made for me, you know, so and so, and they. Being a new person, when I got there, this great grass camp of thousands of people, again, the strange thing is, I went to the quartermaster to get my gear, and the quartermaster, a major quartermaster, a real drunk, he was sit in the officer's mess, pouring with his teapot, because they'd all got their own teapots in the mess, pouring his teapot. And then somebody told me, it's not tea in there, it's stout. He drinks stout, but he has to have his new teapot. Anyway, I got to him in actual fact once, and when I went there in actual fact to get my uniform, I mean, very easy offhand type, you know. Oh, you want some things? Oh, good, yeah, I'll get you what you like. Go in the store and go and tell him to me. Incidentally, I'm feeling a bit thirsty, you know. Bring me a pineapple, get us a pineapple, you know. I thought, what do you mean? Well, I get a pineapple drink. I go outside and he said, oh, just outside. So I looked round and I couldn't see a pineapple tree anywhere. So I went back to this binoculars. I'm sorry, I can't find a tree. There's bloody hundreds out there. You just chop the top off and stick the top back on again and it bloody well grows. And that's what I went all around the all of the doing where pineapples were growing. And I thought they grew on trees. It just shows you, didn't it? Anyway, sorry. She's right, isn't it?
Harry, thank you.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Dribbling on.
Because you've got a million and one stories to tell of your army life after the Second World War.
Yeah.
And we'll stop this one and then we'll start afresh on that on that new series of stories you've got there. Thanks very much for this.
Yes, okay, yes.